لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, my voice is a bit out, as you can notice, and I need time to warm up, and this is my personality, and everyone has their personality. And you know, it just depends on the, sometimes my mood also, so I'm a moody person. Now that you know something about me, either I can fly off the pan or be extremely nice, so you take your pick. So today the talk, inshallah, is about the impact of Islam on the Sahaba and why we don't have it today. The impact, if you look at the impact, first and foremost, I didn't tell the brothers they're so nice. I disagree with that in one sense, and I agree with it in the other sense. I disagree with it because Islam is still impacting till today. It is a force to be reckoned with. It is a force that somebody cannot understand, because when it hits them, then they realize that this is a way of life, that my goodness, is there something else that I can see beyond this? They cannot see anything beyond when they have Islam. So Islam is full of impact, and impact means, literally, it means a profound effect. A profound effect. It also means to bang, to force, to smash, to shock. So this is the meaning of an impact. So you come and shock the people out of their shirk. That's a good new poem, maybe I should rap. Shock the people out of their shirk. I know the youth, they're into rap, so maybe I can yo yo man. Shock the shirk out of the shirkish. So it means literally to force. So impact is how something is impacting onto your heart. How something is literally impacting onto your heart. People visit the masajids of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there's no impact on their heart. Their faces are literally dark to begin with. And I'm not talking about the pigmentation of their skin. You can see the white man or the black man or the Chinese man or whatever color they have. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given them nur, without whatever pigmentation they have dark faces. So whatever they do, they come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their faces never change because there's no impact. They're coming for something else. We dealt with the hadith yesterday. With lacking time, we didn't go into it. This hadith, the first one in the Arba'in of Imam al-Nawawi, which states, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ إِمْرٍ مَا نَوَى, that all actions are according to intention, and you will get whatever you have intended. So if you're coming to the masjid, what is the intention of you coming to the masjid? If you're coming to this conference, what is the intention of you coming to the conference? Are you going to come to the conference to check who is there, what we're doing? You're going to check to see what flaws we have, to check to see whether you're going to learn something? And same thing with the sisters. What are they doing? Some sisters were upset yesterday. They said, you shove us in a room with babies crying all over the place. We cannot hear anything. They have a right to say that, because some of them are literally frustrated. So we have to deal with our community where we are. We don't need to get angry with ourselves and say, well, I'm done with you and I'm done with this one. But we're done with people who are done with Islam. So if the sisters, they need a new place, let them have a new place, or expand the thing, have babysitting services. So what have you come to this masjid for? Have you come to learn something? Have you come, you know, to understand something? Even if you get one hadith, we keep saying, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he went from here to there, and he was sitting in front of the, and everyone knows the story, and we keep repeating it and repeating it, that he was sitting in front for just one hadith, that he thought that this companion might have heard this hadith, so therefore I need to actually know that. And he had dust because of the sandstorm that was there. And they said, "Whoa, oh, cousin of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what are you doing here?" He said, "I've come to." We know all that, but we come here 1,000 hadith, and that has no effect. And sometimes we never even heard the hadith, and it has no effect. Why? Because the impact is not there. The impact is not there. Yes, we're Muslims, but the impact is not there. Now, Islam's impact is so powerful. I just came from South America because that's the only thing I can think of. Oh, the da'wah was beautiful. I was eating fresh fruits and breathing fresh air, and you know, it was, everything was natural, and I just came into everything that's unnatural now. Ugly buildings, horrible looking people, not down to earth, you know, everything is, you know, right, left, like a robot. And I tell you, people have literally over there, there's one brother who took Shahada with me in August. He had a rough pant, cut off, rough looking African brother. And I remember his name was Sean, because he stuck out in my mind. I was in the village of Safaya. And this time when I was there, and after the people were there, I was just walking because I was busy trying to do something. And he said, Salaam alaikum. I said, wa alaikum salam. And I was leaving. He said, do you remember me? I said, Akhi, you know, I see so many people. How do I remember you? He looked very nice. He had noor on his face. Every, you know, he had a kufi. He had nice things. He had a nice dress. And I said, Akhi, you look familiar. He said, I'm Sean. When he said, I'm Sean, it just thunderstruck me. I stopped everything. I said, you're Sean? It was just in August where he took Shahada. I said, you're Sean? He said, yes. He said, I also gave my wife Shahada also. So it changes. It has an impact. Because, you know, me, I've been with so many people taking Shahada, you know, I cannot tell. So I said, okay, this is another brother, inshallah. May Allah help him. And it totally changed. Totally changed. The impact was so great in his life that he's totally a different human being. Even by his looks, he is different. There's another sister named by Sister Anne, Muslima. She's the Amira of that town called Safaya. Her mother, she told her mother, she said, since you've been away for 15 years, mother, why you have come to live with me now? Why you don't accept Islam? She said, I was born a Christian and I will die one. So do not try to force. She said, I'm not trying to force. But I was born one and I will die one. So don't even talk to me. So she was very adamant. She was about 80 years old. So she was in the first lecture when I was there. So I went to another village and so on and so forth. So I wanted to go back to that village because it's a very nice, warm village. Just at the last day, because I was leaving very early in the morning, so I went to the night to see what the brothers and sisters were doing. They had some program. They were passing out some food. So I went in. So I saw the microphone. So I just picked up the microphone and started speaking. Salatul Dhuhr, why we make wudu and so on and so forth. Then we had 8 other shahadas. So right after that, this old lady, she came up. She said, yes, I want to accept Islam. I said, okay, welcome. So she took the shahada. She said it very nicely. And she sat back down. And Sister Anne actually came after. She said, do you know who that is? I said, I don't know. She said, this is my mother. This is my mother. And she said, she was looking for you the whole week and I was afraid because I thought she wanted to cause some problems. So we had said that you're going to just come by tonight. She said, I'm waiting for him. So she said, I was afraid what she was going to do. And I never thought that she was going to accept the Shahada. Then she called me back. She said, I want you to give me a name. I want you to give me a name. So I gave her name, Fatima, the one who saved from the fire. She's 80 years old. By the laws of average, how long are you going to live? You see? So she's truly saved from the fire. So Islam is an impacting, it is a way of life that impacts the heart. There's another brother named Tariq. He has 11 kids, 2 hafid, and he's a reaver, African brother. Master. He goes out with them in the morning, and the way he jogs, he said, La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah in the town. You know, these are people here. They Islam has literally impacted them. They don't drink, they don't smoke, they leave every single thing. One brother who came to take Shahada, he said, when I heard something about Islam, he said, I was drinking and I left it right on the spot. He left it right on the, as he came, he had a cigarette in his hand. I said, you need to leave that too. He said, right away. And he threw it away. And the last thing that I'll just give you an example, there's a 9-year-old girl. She wanted a name. I said, I'll give you Aisha. 9 years old. And then she said, do you know what? I need to have a Muslim dress. I need to have a Muslim dress. So I told the sister, I said, make every one of these kids, because there was many kids there. 9 years old, 10 years old, 14 years old. I said, make all of them 2 dresses each. And sometimes I was making mistakes because the boys were having dress because they didn't have any other thing to wear, so they were having a dress. So I would say, okay, come here, she's quite cute, and she was, I'm he. So, and I saw her in the last day, she was muhajjaba, and she was wearing a 9-year-old girl, and you could see the strength of the deen that literally changed this 9-year-old girl. And what's so different about that? Ali radiallahu anhu was 9 when he stood up and defended the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Islam is an impacting way. The Sahaba were the best of the Ummah radiallahu anhum. They were the best, and therefore the difference, you see. Islam is still can impact, but the impact is low on us because they were the best of nations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best of people to be around the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they were the best. He said, my ummah is the best. And then after that, and then after that. So look at who were the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Umar radiallahu anhu. A master, he was going out of Mecca, he said, whoever's mother would like to breathe him, meaning whoever's mother would like to cry after the son, let him step forward and stop me. Look at the strength of his conviction. He said, I'm going. So whoever mother wants to mourn him, let him come forward. Or meet me outside the valley. Hamza radiallahu anhu, when he grabbed the hold of Umar, he said, what are you doing? Before he took Islam, he said, what are you doing? Why don't you stop your aggression? He said, I've come here to accept Islam. These were the people. Sa'd ibn Rabi'a radiallahu anhu, he was at the pledge of Aqaba. He was a da'i in Medina. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him a da'i in Medina to preach. He was in Badr. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was holding his girl when he had died in Uhud. Radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was holding his daughter and he said, who is this? He said, this is Sa'd's daughter. He said, somebody who's better than me. Who's better than me. This whose daughter that I'm holding. These were the people. Now in Uhud, in the battle where the archers were, I just came from there. So they were giving us a ride from there to see. So I climbed there. There were people selling the subha and other stuff. And garbage was all over the place. People were taking Polaroids. You know, there was two Pakistani brothers. And this out of their love for them, you know what I mean? This is out of the love for them. So I saw them, I said, Bhaijan, they look like that. I said, you know, I spoke to them in Urdu. I said, and then the other brothers came and they also were saying, what's going on? I said, brother, are you going to take pieces? Because they were trying to take pieces of that hill. And that hill has literally gone down. Where the archer, this is our history. I told one of the sheikhs there, what are we doing here? Why don't we preserve these landmarks? Taking pieces of the stone. So one of the brothers said, he said, Akhi, can we like after you take all these pieces of stone, can we like visit like the Mount of Uhud in Karachi? They will keep taking it pieces and pieces to, you know, one will take it to Somalia and one will take, so we'll have to visit these places to see our relics. So I mean, we have to preserve and so we, Now it's a very, you know, the impact is low because we're doing things that are not necessary. Sure, it comes into the heart to let me get a piece and it's out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're doing it. I don't blame their zeal or their effort to do it. But the thing is wrong. Also myself, I'm not as a hypocrite sitting in front of you. Also myself, I would have liked to take a piece of rock and say, look, I got a piece of rock with the actual standing. You know, but if everyone takes a piece of the rock, what will be left of the hill itself? So this companion Sa'd radiallahu anhu, in his death, because Islam had impacted him, in his death he said, please convey my salam to the Apostle of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell him that I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he should bestow on him, on account of me, better benefits than any other prophet would have been bestowed on the account of their followers. Tell also my brethren in Islam that they cannot escape from the chastisement, that they cannot escape from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they allow the mushrikeen to touch a single hair on the head of the Apostle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as long as a single one of them is alive. This was his message on his deathbed. He's finishing, he's saying, tell them, give my salam to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm making dua for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then telling his companions, said, not even a single, because you know now we say, Hasbi Allahu ni'mal wakeel, Allah is sufficient for us. On small things, you said, brother, don't do that. Hasbi Allah. Akhi, why did you just break that shelf? Hasbi Allahu ni'mal wakeel. Oh, we say it for the smallest thing. When it was said was when the people, when the Sahaba, they went back and they were wounded and they went back and they said the other army is coming back and they bandaged themselves. They said, Hasbi Allah. They were each individually saying, Hasbi Allah. Allah is enough for me. And then they went out. Now is Hasbunallah. Whoa, it doesn't make any sense. Your brother is telling you something and you're saying this. So it's out of context. They said it for real purposes, that Allah is our witness and our protector. So Islam had impacted their heart, because that's what they wanted to live with. One of the pious predecessors, he said, Islam is shedding tears. Islam is shedding tears. Its wails of woe is on the account of the blasphemous hypocrites and innovators who are practicing a pious fraud by attributing things that do not belong to Islam. A pious fraud, that's what we're doing. Looking like it, but not living like it. A pious fraud. Sometimes you have to check yourself. Are you a pious fraud, or are you really trying to live according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given? And we have many pious frauds with us. May Allah save us from them and not make us one of them. And then another one of the tabi'een, he said, do you not know that even the dog is faithful to his master? He guards his fields and cattle, is pleased to see his master, although he does not get much more than a few crumbs in the evening. You are favored by the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you are neither thankful to him, nor you are dutiful in performing the task assigned to you. Instead, what you do is to break the commandments of Allah and transgress the limits of Sharia. Meaning he's saying even the dog is faithful. He gets only a few crumbs, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so much. فَبِأَيَّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the signs of your Lord will you then deny? Which sign are you going to deny? Your health, your wealth, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. I sometimes fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not accepted any of my deeds. And I fear that how am I going to be accepted? Talking on a platform, talking with this, we can do this, and we did this, and I did this. And if it's not accepted, it means nothing. It means nothing, because he's given us so much of comfort, so much of joy. And if it is not accepted by us, whether this masjid is 15 feet long, or whether it's a football field long, or whether whoever is doing whatever is done in Edmonton, what is done in England, whatever is done anywhere, if it is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is of no use. It is of no use. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I ask the brothers and sisters to make this dua, to take you to deeds that are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you're doing deeds that are not accepted by Allah, you will never, never, ever gain anything. You will just do it for nothing. So sometimes I wonder, doing all those things, and if it's not accepted by Allah, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have acceptance of that, we're all damned. It is only by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can succeed. We have so much sins. Every walk that we do, we have sins. Every step that we make, we have sins. And we become people of arrogance. And sometimes I wonder, how are we going to succeed in these places? Our youth are not coming to the masajid. Why? Because they have no love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have no love of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because we never taught anything about the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All we taught is this is haram and this is shirk and this is bid'ah and this is this and this is everything that is negative. I was standing in front of the house of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in front of the Masjid of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The first thing that this little man who just studied 5 months, the first thing that he can see, he said, look at the Mubtadi'ah over there. I said, Akhi, you just started your study, you don't even know the basic grammar. And you're calling these people innovators. Be very careful. Be very, very careful how you deal. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it. So even the dog is faithful to the master. And some of us, even I tell myself, I'm not even worthy of that dog. Because I'm not that faithful. And I wish to be one day, but it has to be a trek. It has to be a struggle to get there, and don't expect to get there without any struggle. You expect to get your paycheck with struggle. Everything that you do with struggle, what makes you think you don't have to struggle with this deen? Now it's even more worse. Therefore the impact is deflected or cushioned. We're talking about impact. So why is it not impacting us? Number one, the TV. وَلِيَعَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ. For myself, it's a cancer. قَسَمْ بِاللَّهِ, it is a cancer. That thing has destroyed my hours. It has given me plenty sins. It has actually literally vanquished my iman. That thing is a cancer to begin with. I look at that thing and I hate the very sight of it. I hate the very sight of a TV. Yet, we listen to the news. Yet, we try to bring it in our home. Some homes have 4 televisions, 500 channels. And you're telling me why there's no impact? The impact is not there because there's no time for any other thing. Where's the time? I want to be practical with you. I'm not coming here to give you a flower speech. I want to be practical with you. Where's the time? You go to work in the morning. The latest that you start your work is 9 o'clock. Some of you start at 7, some at 8, some at 9. And then you work till 4, till 5. By the time you get home, 5, 6 in the night. You sit 4 hours in front of the television. Where do you have time? How do you expect Islam to impact you when you're not even opening it, you're not even receiving it? So there's no time. There's no time. You work, you come, there's no time. Your relationship with your spouse is down. Muslims are having marital problems. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're getting have a dislike. The male is having no love for his wife because he keeps seeing other women on TV. His desire has gone through the roof, so he looks at his wife in disgust and he doesn't realize that these are plastic people that they're showing through the TV. Even the magazines, they're plastic. They have blemishes and then they go with the computer screen and they hide the blemish. So they're trying to make it look artificial. And we're falling for that. So you keep watching that, it's destroying us from the real root. And there's no cure to it. Because if you say one word against it, say, brother, excuse me, akhi, that's extreme. But akhi, this is extreme time. It has destroyed almost every single one of the families. There's not one single family that is not being destroyed with the TV. Not one single family. The pious, the unpious, the big, the rich, the poor, not one single family. I was in Maghrib and all I could see on top of poor people's house were dishes like this. I was sitting on top of the masjid just looking. And I was just counting. I counted tens and tens. As far as I could see, there was dish. You go to Mecca, in Hajj time, somebody's watching something else, an open air in the vicinity of the haram. In the vicinity of the haram, even thinking evil thoughts is a sin in the haram itself. That's why some sahaba would like to have left that place. We turn on the dish, can you imagine what a disaster that is? What a disaster that is. It's a problem. The impact is not there because it is cushioned by something else. Secondly, with the TV, the negative effects of the programming, content. If I give you content right now, and you try to understand the content, what will happen is that you will not understand the content properly because your mind will be, after 10 minutes, it will switch off. Because the TV teaches you to switch off. So you look at somebody else, You're paying attention at the teapot. You're looking at somebody else. You start looking here, looking there, because you cannot concentrate, because what TV does is makes you not able to concentrate. Well, how do you think those scholars became scholars? Because they had the ability to concentrate. They say now middle-aged men, they get Alzheimer's disease because they watch excessive TV. The brain stops working. The brain stops working. So what is wrong with us when we watch that content? Because you are a product of your environment. Whatever content is in here, that's what you're going to regurgitate. And I'm telling you that this will shape our personalities. Men and women, they shape their personalities. The teenagers, why do you think the teenagers? I don't want to do that, but I can pull some of them out. And I know exactly why the pant is baggy. I know exactly where the chain is. I know why they're tilting their hat. Because some rapper or somebody and somebody's hair is sticking out like this. So everything is actually formulated from something else. They didn't get it from the sky. I came, one brother had a do-rag under his kufi. I said, Akhi, what's that? He said, oh, that's just to keep my hair intact. I said, Akhi, you don't even have curly hair. So what do you mean by that? Oh, I just wear it as something. So they're just, it's a something that's systemic inside. It is a disease that we need to figure out. You know, that's why the dress is very important. Myself and Ustad Ahmed over there, if we were to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, okay, time to go to the bar. Me and him are going to go to the bar downtown. Yeah, me and the Sheikh Ahmed there, we're going to go to the bar. I like him, he's a lovely brother. Let's go to the bar. We have to look at ourselves and say, Taqillah, you know, look at your beard, and you're wearing a thob and you have a long dress and you're wearing a kufi. How we can go to the bar? So the thing will stop us. So it is flags that we're wearing. We're having a flag. This is our flag that we wear like this. So even there's nothing wrong with wearing a pant and shirt, try to make it loose. It's very hypocritical on the part of the brothers to keep pointing a finger to the sisters and said, oh, she doesn't have proper hijab on. Look at that. Akhi, you have to stop wearing your Levi's 101 so tight that you can't even breathe. You have to actually let it loose a little bit. It's a horrible thing. I don't like to see the imam wearing extremely tight and he's up in front. I said, Akhi, at least cover yourself a little bit. Have shame in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, we can actually make our own dresses. I tell you, just as it's an informal session, I went to Pakistan, I went to the tailor, and I said, I want it like this. Because the Pakistanis will have shalwar kameez, right? So it will be long, it will be below the knee. So I don't like it that long, because it always gets in my way. I'm moving fast all the time. But I want something not short either. So I want mid. So I gave him my measurements. I want it like this. I want buttons down here. I pick my own cloth. You make it. You see? And this is my pants. I said I want it loose. I wear the thobe sometimes, but I said I want it loose. Why? Because I need to also not be a hypocrite saying to the sisters, you know, sisters, you need to make it loose. You need to wear it. But for the men, it is okay for every other thing to be bulging out. It's not right. It's not right. So the impact is from the clothing also. It is shaping us. We watch the TV, shapes our brain. We watch what they're wearing, we say, oh, that's a nice. Oh, this is Sean John, or this is Snoop Doggy Dog, or, rapper so-and-so, or hard rock man so-and-so. This is Def Leppard. All this nonsense that they have on thing, they will try to emulate what they're wearing. So the problem now is that the content is affecting us, is impacting us more than our own being. So the heart slowly dies without one knowing what's happening. The heart slowly dies. That's why the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the heart will know the right, and then if it keeps sinning and keeps sinning, it will be confused between the right and the wrong. It will not know what is right or what is wrong, because it is constant in that sin until the heart literally becomes dark. Secondly, the music. Why it's not, because I want to get to my point. I have not started my lecture yet, actually. Should we stop now? No, nobody give me 5 minutes today. I'll thrash because this is my last day. So if I don't come, no problem. Where was I? Music. Music. The reason why music is, the reason why it's standing between us, you see, this is the body. Now the TV is here, the music is here, every other thing, I can continue on, so it's a cushion. So if you want Islam to impact you, you have to get rid of that cushion, so you are actually able to receive. You know, on the radio, you go and try to get the FM dial, and you got that Islam program, but we have a very small budget, and we can't, it's between 97.5 to 13, and you know, you have to keep dialing, because if you don't get the right frequency, the voice will not come. So this is, you have to have the right frequency. So in order for it to impact, the music also takes your time. Everything is music. Ding, 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 get up in the morning, music. Ding, 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 sleep at night, music. Now alhamdulillah, at least there are some nice nasheed out there that the youth can get in there. And I think we should not be extremely excessive in trying to condemn every single thing possible. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he spoke about the wind and the string, which is to be not permissible. So yes, we say that. But the ulama, they have some khilaf in their understanding of what it is. Some of them taking a very hard opinion, but they haven't seen the disease that's happening here. And some of them have taken lenient opinion based on knowledge also, as to see how we can deal with the problems that are taking place. So music has become a character builder for all of us. So I think what we need to do is spend money to give the right thing. We keep saying haram, 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 haram. But what have you done to provide entertainment for the youth? Because they will go to school, they will hear that. At least give them something. At least give them something. Give them an alternative rather than blocking the doors to them all the time. So it takes your time away. You cannot learn anything when the music is on. I don't know how they study for exam while the music is on. I really cannot understand it. Big Walkman there, ding, 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 ding. And they're studying because they program themselves like that. And your brain cannot decipher all those things that are going through. So literally it's also hurting your ear. Secondly, it has a negative effect. Your hearing is finished after that. They say that it has a big problem with your hearing, the loud music. Secondly, there's no learning when you're totally engrossed in that all the time. Thirdly, the vulgar one you need to get rid of totally. It's so horrible, it makes you do the wrong things. Some of these, you know, demonic rock music and so on and so forth. I chewed the liver of my mother and so on and so forth. I smashed his head and this and that. All these lyrics are actually shaitanic things into the music, and it goes into the brain. So this is, you're absorbing that. So can you just imagine, keep absorbing all of those things into your system? So therefore the impact is less, because you keep cushioning other things, so you let other things between you and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tufail ibn Amir al-Dawsi radiallahu anhu, when he went, he put cotton in his ears, and he knew poetry. But when he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually was very pleased. And you know, from his effort, and he gets share of all of that. Do you know who came from his tribe? Do you know which Sahaba came from his tribe? Anybody? Out of Tufail ibn Amir al-Dawsi. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. 80 families actually came. Why don't our kids know that? Why don't our adults know that? One answer. 80 families went with him, radiallahu anhu, to Medina. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was the most prolific in hadith, because he dedicated his whole life. So putting cotton in the ear. So we are now, the impact is less. And that's why he said, well, let me see what the impact is going to be. So when he took out the cotton, the impact was great, you see. The impact was great. Is it tea time now, or? Because the impact of my talk is great. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Okay, so that's two. The third, the drugs. The brothers who are sitting here all nice, they can never think about that. The youth are in it. We have seen very nice youth praying five times a day with marijuana in their pocket. You know the stems of the marijuana, you have to study that. If you want to live here, you have to study it. The stem of the marijuana looks very funny, very small, so you can see what it is. So I gave it to one brother, Mustafa, who was an ex-criminal, had gunshot wounds and all that thing. And, you know, he accepted Islam and actually, literally, it changed his life. It literally changed his life. And we gave it to him, he said, Mustafa, just verify. He just put it in his mouth like this. And Chule said, yes, it's marijuana, let me catch that cup. I said, no. We're going to see to that, because you have to start understanding how it's affecting our youth. We have to get our head out of the sand and see how we can actually help our communities, how we can actually bring them every day to the masjid, how we can have more programs for them. Just let them do. Open the doors for them. Hey, you want that? Please, welcome. You need that? Go ahead. So at least they know somebody cared, because somebody else is caring for them in the negative way outside. So the drug is killing them. I don't want to go into the statistics of marijuana and what it does to the liver, lungs, all those things. That's another thing. Lastly, the friends. Your friend is your environment. So if you're going to have a friend that's not good, it's not going to impact. Same thing with the Muslim brothers. If your Muslim friend is not a good friend, the Islam is not going to have an impact on you, because the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, your deen is on who? Your Khalid, meaning your friend. You will do you will have the lifestyle of your friend, unless you're strong enough to take them out. Unless you're strong enough to take them out. So the friend is very, very important, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. Sometimes the Muslim friends will be more dangerous to the Muslims than the non-Muslims. Because they say he's a Muslim. There's no problem. That's why sometimes in the Islamic school, if it's not run properly, they get more problems in there, because they take all the nonsense that's coming into them. So their kids are watching these lewd programs and listening to these things and have these horrid things. You know the Nintendo machine, the Xbox and all those things? There's a game. I forgot the name of it. Auto theft, something auto. What's the name? Grand Auto Theft. You have Grand Theft Auto. Jazakumullah khair. Grand Theft Auto. And you know, you can see that they know about it. Two kids in the United States, 14 and 16, walked up to the highway and started shooting people who were going. Killed one man and seriously injured the other. They said, why did you do that? We were watching this Grand Theft Auto. Auto theft. What was it? Grand theft. Anyway, it's thieving your lives. You should need to get... And parents always think, I'm doing such a favor for my kids to buy them that $400 machine. It just makes them dumb, and then they want them to excel in academics, and they give them this thing, and all they're practicing is their thumb. You know, they call it the Xbox, I call it the S-box, meaning the stupid box. It makes you stupid, because you keep doing this and it's violent. And actually, if you literally look at it, it's against the Sharia to keep seeing murder all the time. Murder, 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 cutting off his head. Now they're trying to make it rated R. So as though when you reach 18, all of a sudden you have senses. Come on. Have you seen somebody with 18 having senses who's not in his right senses to begin with? We should talk about marriage at 18. What do you think? There is a long hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I will not go into it. But basically it says that there was, on the Day of Judgment, death will be brought forward in the shape of a black and white ram. And the caller will call out, Ya Ahl al-Jannah, the people of Jannah. And they will stretch their necks. They will stretch their necks and look at it carefully. And they will say to them, هَلْ تَعْرِفُونَ هَذَا? Do you know this? Do you know this? And then they will say, فَيَقُولُونَ نَعْمْ هَذَا الْمَوْتِ. They say, yes, this is death. This is death. وَكُلُّهُمْ قَدْ رَى. That all of them would have seen it by then. And then the hadith continues that they will call the Ahl al-Nar, and then again they will stick out their necks and look at that, and then هَلْ تَعْرِفُونَ هَذَا? They said, yes, we know this. And then it will be said to them, it will be said, and the ram will be cut. ثُمَّ يَقُول. And then when the ram will be cut, you say, يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ خُلُودٌ فَلَا مَوْتِ. Enter, meaning into eternity there is no more maut for the people of Jannah. And same thing for the people of Nar. I mean, this hadith needs, till the end of the hadith, this hadith literally needs another hour to deal with, to how actually we are in our ghafla and in our ignorance and in our arrogance in this life, thinking that, you know, everything. When that ram is cut and said, that's it, fala maut. There's no more death after that. For the ones who have succeeded, they have succeeded forever. The ones who have succeeded, they have succeeded forever. And the ones who have failed, they have failed forever. So we don't want to get to that point and then somebody tell us, well, you have lost. And if you lose at that time, that will be the end. So you can grab it now, brothers and sisters. This is the time to grab things. This is the time to hold on. Hold on to your child. Hold on to your daughters. Hold on to your husbands. Hold on to your wives. Hold on to your family. Don't let them go. In Ottawa, 50% of the juveniles, criminals, in jail, are Somalis. Can you imagine that? From a culture of great learning, from a people of integrity who used to say one word, that their word would be lasting till the end of day, for a people of honor, people of learning and scholars, more than 50% are Somali youth. I said, we have gone wrong somewhere. We have gone wrong somewhere. Why is that? We have to look at the problems. Father somewhere else. The mother is there with two kids. Somebody's earning money in America. Sending. You don't send money. You be a father. Same thing with the brothers from the Khalij. They came over after the Gulf War. They left their wives and their children, and they went back because they still want, I need to earn, I need to earn, I need to earn. And his son grows up not knowing his father, hating the fact that his father was never home, gets into drugs, gets into gangs, then we have to go and come out. And then he said, Akhi, what is the Islamic solution? What do you think is the Islamic solution? Ask yourself that. Don't ask me. What did you do? You left him there as he was a little baby with no father figure, thinking, how much more can I earn? I have 250,000, but maybe if I work another 10 years, I'll have 500,000, then I can live forever. Oh, but your life will be almost ending at that time, so you're never even going to enjoy your wealth. Some of them die leaving hundreds and thousands of dollars, not even enjoying their wealth. I remember one Yehudi in New York, I saw him. You know, he's an old guy, there's two twins. They used to call him Yankee and Julio. Nice guys. You know, I have no problem. So I would speak to them, and they would say, oh, pray for me, pray for me. I said, yes, I pray for you. I pray for all of you. So I said one time, I told him, I said, where are you running? He had a shop. He said, I'm going to the mosque down there. He said, no, pray in my store. I said, no. He said, pray in my store because I want you to look at my products. I said, you want me to pray in your store? I said, okay. So I went downstairs. I put out my place. I know where the direction of the Kaaba was, roughly. If you follow according to the Imam Maliki, you have a big, big leniency in space. So I went and started praying. I said, Allahu Akbar. There was like, you know, some of the workers that were walking with, you know, dangles and stuff, and they were just, everyone was looking to see, oh, who is this guy and who let him inside here, you see? So, what was I saying, Akhi? See how I know I go off into tangents, but what I have to tell you is that he had a wad of money in the back of his pocket, and I told him that you're not going to enjoy that yourself. You're about 77, maybe 80. You are not going, he had about, wallahi qasam billah, it cannot have been anything less than $50,000 with check and thing, just in his back pocket. I said, you will not enjoy that. He said, you're right. And then he started eating green pepper with cottage cheese. I said, you don't even eat good food. I mean, this is healthy food, which is good. But at least enjoy it at this time, because this is all what you're going to get, inshallah. So, how is the impact? Now, the sunnah and to see how the sunnah has impacted us, the sunnah literally means a habitual practice, a norm, a usage, sanctioned by tradition. But when we say sunnah, we mean literally by Muslim, meaning the ways of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his magnanimous character touched the lives of the poor as well as the rich. The lives of the poor as well as the rich. I was saying yesterday not to make things that are big things. When the Bedouin urinated in the masjid, he said, just throw some water over it. Fuqaha took so many fiqh principles from that. Just throwing, making things easy. Don't go beyond excessiveness, trying to punish things for things you don't know. Somebody stepped with their shoe inside the mosque as though he made kufr. I mean, it was a big thing. All you have to do is explain, Sahi, we just cleaned this carpet off. Please don't come in with your shoes. His imposing character stood against the evil. He was very magnanimous. His royal moral build-up was the foundation which nation thrived, because they were looking at his moral character. So brothers need to be here to give their moral character. What did the pious predecessor said? Be 1,000 men. He was talking to his son. Be 1,000 men. Ya Ibni, my son, be 1,000 men. And if you cannot be 1,000 men, be one man. Be one man. But if you cannot be one man, do not be half a man. If you cannot be one man, do not be half a man. So they should know your presence in the community. You should be known. If you leave the community and say, we lost 1,000 people. We lost one very good brother, a very good sister. But not let anybody tell you we lost half a person, meaning we didn't lose anything. So you have to ask yourself what you have contributed to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his impressiveness and his impressive kindness knew no bounds. Rih al-Mursala, he was known, Sahih al-Bukhari said, the wind that actually gives rain, I mean bounties, the rain clouds that are there ready to give the earth nourishment. He was known for that attribute, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. His brilliance and his abject poverty in front of the most generous, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, left kings in awe of him. The kings would shudder. The kings would shudder from his students. Umar radiallahu anhu, they would literally shudder. They would shake. He said, is this Umar? They would literally shake. So, this was the Messenger of Allah, because the impact of his character was big. So you need to impact your community in a good way. The impact of Islam has to be in a good way. It has to be in a way that you're impacting in a forceful way, in a good way, that you having benefit is being derived from you. And his brilliant personality shone like the beaming light in the midst of darkness. And his constitution was relevant 1400 years ago, and it is even more relevant today, because it needs to impact even more today. Why? We think it cannot, but it should more. Because his teachings are even more relevant today. Why? He was, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah An-Nun is described, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Verily you are an exalted standard. His character is exalted. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him that appellage. No one else. We have to stop? Okay. When we have to stop? Now?
3 more minutes.
3 more minutes. You know, I was just given a notice from the brother to to expand and continue on.
Just we'll continue then. Continue, inshallah.
We'll skip the Maghrib. Okay,
no, we'll skip the questions and answers. We'll skip the question and answers.
Okay, what would you guys like? Question and answer or continue? Well, anything, I don't have a problem.
Continue.
Okay, inshallah. Well, yeah, okay. So, he was on an exalted standard of character. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that verily we have only sent you as a mercy to mankind. We keep repeating that in the Jum'ah, but what does it mean? What does mercy mean? Mercy doesn't mean hardness. Mercy does not mean that you're uncouth in your character. Mercy does not mean that you're callous and crass and gruff, that you're rough-edged. This is not the act of mercy. Mercy is that you look at somebody who's downtrodden, who's having a difficult day. Some brothers are actually having depression, and you never ask them, how are you doing, brother? Some sisters are going through a hard time. How are you doing, sister? What is the reason for coming for salah? Do you think it's just feet to feet? So we just stand like cows in the salah, trying to touch our feet like that. Everybody's trying to stretch as far as possible. You have to bring shoulder to shoulder. Why shoulder to shoulder? What is the reason for that hadith? Is the people of knowledge have explained that the reason why I said that the shaitan doesn't get between you, because shaitan comes from a word which is shatan, meaning that he's away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's rajim. So shaitan doesn't come, meaning you do not have that unmerciful acts, they do not come between you. You see? So you have shoulder to shoulder, you know what your brother is going through. The sisters know what the sisters are going through. How far we have come in the salah. Not even understand, we don't even know the next person to us. We don't even know his name. We may be an executive, I may be the president, I may be the secretary, I may be the big sheikh, maybe the mufti, I don't know anybody here. I don't know my community even after 1 year. Well, why is it so hard to memorize some names? To know, akhi, what's your name, Ahmed? First time you don't get it, second time you don't get it, third time, fourth time at least you'll get it. Try. So we have to actually get back to the point of understanding and taking the impact. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, this was said. Said, Ya Rasulullah, pray against the idolaters. Pray against the mushrikeen. He said, I have not been sent as a la'na. I have not been sent as somebody who's a curse or somebody who's a curser, who curses the people. وَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ رَحْمَةً. Verily, I have been sent as a rahmah, as somebody who is giving full of mercy. And this is Sahih Muslim, you'll find. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That verily in the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find the best of examples. He is the best of examples, irrespective of what they say. Once you explain to the non-Muslims what the character of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was like, they will have to fall in love with his character, and they will have to come to Islam. But you have to study his character. How many people over here have read the seerah fully? Raise your hand. One, raise your hand if you've read the seerah fully. Full. Two, three, four. If we're going to know more about Michael Jackson and his apprehension inside the court and going victory signs, if we're going to know more about him and his flashy clothing, and what happened to his conviction, and not know about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how are we going to thrive as a community? And that's the basis of our understanding, to understand who he was. Today they say clash of civilization, a lot of nonsense. How can it be a clash of civilization? Tell them, where did you get all this from? The architecture, the pendulum, algebra. There would be no rocket for you or planes for you if algebra, which is Arabic, you did not have algebra, you would not have calculus. So stick that into your hat. and tell me where the clash of civilization has come from. So you need to look at that. Now, three basic things, inshallah, that we need to look at. And these three basic things will never change. So if you need to impact, you have to see where the impact is coming from. Three basic things. Number one, these are basic vices, meaning harmful things, negative things. Absence of truthfulness, meaning the lack of concordance between the heart and the tongue. Lack of concordance between the heart and the tongue. That's why the hypocrite, he does not say what is in his heart. Twist his tongue. What's in my heart, I cannot say. But I'll tell you something else. Abdullah ibn Ubay, what he used to say? This is the messenger of Allah. You know what the companions did after? He said, get down, you. You know what I mean? Get down and have shame and move out of here. They rebuked him. They pulled his, because he was trying to make a sermon. They pulled his thing. He said, get down. Because these were people who understood who was who. But we have to see this basic. This is a basic vice. It will never change. Even if you go to Mars, it will never change. So number one in this basic vice is falsehood, to lie. And a believer cannot be liar. Perchance he can be bakhil. He can be stingy. He can be stingy. But he cannot be a liar. So you can be a little tight-fisted because the Messenger of Allah says, perchance. Meaning, if you're really a believer, you will not be somebody who's tight-fisted. But you'll never be a liar. But you'll never be a liar. So, what does it say in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Inna Allah la yahdi man huwa kadibun kaffar. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the one who's a lying ingrate. In another verse, a fakin athim, a sinful liar, musrifun kadhab, a lying transgressor. These are things that are synonymous, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given those appellages to make us understand who are these people. So a liar hides the truth and does not need to know anything more than that. The TV tells you how to lie so you can get off. It tells you how to lie so you can be funny. It tells you how to lie so you can benefit. So it's telling you these things so you can benefit from them. Doesn't it show that? So we sit in front of a sitcom. That's what they call it, the sitcom. We sit in front of it and laugh, ha ha ha. This artificial laughter that they have behind there. Because they do something and they have artificial laughter. Have you not noticed it's the same laughter all the time? Ha 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 ha. Same people all the time? Do all everyone laugh the same time? Same thing every time? So we're supposed to sit there and say, oh, look how funny that is. Waste of your time. Some sisters are watching soap operas within the daytime. Oh, mashallah. One sister said, I learned English from the soap opera. I said, now we have to decontaminate you from the pollution that you just got. Yes, you learned English, but a'udhu billah, what did you learn? John, you left me. I am going to betray my husband. What did you learn from those things? What did you learn? So it teaches you those things. Teaches you lying is a great thing and you can get off of it. In reality, in this modern world, it's costing thousands and thousands and millions of dollars because of lying. Because people lie on their reports. Somebody's lying on their report. I just came from Pakistan. One guy said, well, there's a tax fraud. He's working for the thing. I said, well, how is it a fraud? Because I don't know anything. He's sitting there. Nice brother. He said, well, the company's made $300 million they need to pay in taxes. But the tax guy said that I can write you a report if you give me only 25 million. I don't want 300 million. I just take 25. So I said, what are you going to do? He said, well, we're going to offer him 5. So he will drool over that. So we will end up saving almost 300. We'll end up saving 295 million on the taxes we're supposed to. Why do you think the country is poor? Because if everyone's doing that. So it's lying on reports. So it's costing millions and millions. And these are Muslims who are doing to Muslims. Not only here. They lie on job application. How to beef up your CV. How to beef it up. Oh, I read one brother's CV. I said, mashallah, is that you, akhi? I know you for so many years. Is that you? I'm this, I'm capable of doing that, I'm capable of this, I'm a leader, I'm this, I'm this, I'm that, I did this. I said, you're all that? You think there's a little bit salt of bread? Well, I have to beef it up, akhi. I said, beef it up? This is a lie, akhi. You know what I mean? But he said, it's an honest lie. So job application, because the wrong guy gets in, the wrong guy gets in. Actually, in for the doctors, in QE2 in Halifax, they hired one guy who was the CEO. They took 6 months, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars for job recruitment. Can you imagine that? Hundreds of thousands of dollars? Because they have to pay each professional to look for somebody. They recruited him after 6 months. They fired him in 10 minutes. You know why? He worked for about maybe 8 months and they found out that he lied, that he was a chartered accountant also. So there goes hundreds and thousands of dollars. Why didn't you put that in buying another bed for the hospital so we don't have to wait for 3 to 5 to 10 hours to get in there? So the sunnah is to tell the truth. And therefore, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, if you lie, you become a liar in the sight of Allah until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters you into Jahannam. May Allah save us from that. Or you start telling the truth until you become truthful in the sight of Allah, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters you into Jannah. So truthfulness is very important, it's very applicable now because it should have the most impact. So why we are not having the impact? Because we have not become truthful people. The impact has to be there. Secondly, within this falsehood, within this first basic vice of absence of truthfulness, you have talebearing, gossip, namima. Has caused an immense amount of hurt. You know, they keep saying sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's all lies. Because sticks and stones may break your bones, but names and these things will actually end up hurting you a lot more. The scar will be there for years. And it will be there as a thing that you will, it will bring that bad feeling there all the time. Hammazin mashan bin amin. That the one who is the tail bearer carrying the tails, this person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in Musnad of Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah, he said, la yadkhulu al-jannata qattat. There is one riwayat that says namam, this one says qattat, and qattat comes from the word qat, and qat literally means to render falsely, to render falsely, to misrepresent and to lie. So a liar, a misrepresenter will not enter into Jannah. So be very, very careful when we get there. That's why in ja'akum fasikum binaba'in fatabayyanu, that when the transgressor comes to you, verify the news. Ascertain the truth, lest you will harm people in ignorance, and afterwards you will become regretful of what you have done. Somebody will come, akhi, you know that guy, blah, 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 and you start believing him, you start hating him. Then you get to know that that guy was not too bad. There was nothing wrong with him. And many people actually, they do that. And then they feel very sorry. So in the modern world, they destroy people's characters. They label Muslims as terrorists. I was walking through the airport, and one person was looking. I didn't know what was happening. I was just coming from a conference from England. And the immigration officer in Halifax was looking at the picture and was looking at me like that. So, you know, I became curious. I started looking at her also. Because, you know, I don't care. I'm fed up of this kind of racial profiling and this sickness. I just write a 2.5-page letter that they need a thesaurus to actually decode what I'm writing. I just write it that big and give them a headache. I'm sick and tired of it. Been here so long, I don't even drive over 50 kilometers. So she was looking at that, so I was seeing what they're looking. So there were some pictures of men. Look, Middle Eastern, Asian, I don't know. So I get to my father-in-law's house, he has the news on, so I look at it, that the same poster that she had, the same poster on CNN, 19 Pakistani men suspected of terrorism. It was a hoax. Somebody made it as a hoax because they found some of those people in Pakistan and they interviewed. He said, I don't even have money to leave this country. So how did I go to there and there and that? You see? And then they give one little thing at the end of the line. He said, it was those labels, so-called terrorists, fundamentalists, extremists, bad people. I'm just exaggerating a bit. They were not found in contempt, and they will chew their words and say at the end, you say, well, they were not the ones that we were looking for. Finish. Sorry. Sometimes not even a sorry. So these labelings actually hurt people and hurt their lives. The second basic vice is the love of wealth. The love of wealth. Why it's not impacting? Islam is not impacting? Love of dunya. Hubb ad-dunya. It's just love. We just keep loving. Dishonesty, greed, fraud, theft. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la ta'kulu amwalakum baynakum bil batil. That do not, O you who believe, do not eat. Do not eat your property, your possessions between you in falsehood. And this actually is a rubric, or it covers a lot of area. Covers a lot of area. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he who act dishonestly towards us is not of us. Sahih Muslim says, he who act dishonestly towards us is not of us. So the leaders of this community, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, do not act dishonestly towards the Jama'ah, because you will be not from us. The leaders should be the servants of the community. Our Shaykh Ahmed is trying to lead something in Da'wah, he should be the servant. Somebody else is leading it. Brother Naif is leading, he should be the servant. He should be the servant. He should not be the king. He should be the servant. So the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one time he went into the heap of corn, and he went and put his hand in there and he found it moist. And he pulled out his hand and he said, what is this? Why have you hidden it? He said, because the corn inside is moist. He said, take that out and let the people see what you're selling. Because we Muslims are not dishonest. Because he had hidden that corn inside. Now in the modern world, the reason the impact is not there because we're not communicating these things. In the modern world, insurance is going through the roof. Why? You get a small bump and you hold your neck and say, oh, my neck. And you get out and try to get money from insurance. And by the way, if you try to do it in a fraudulent way, it's haram money. Brothers and sisters, yes, you might think that it's easy money you're getting. It's haram money if you're doing it in a false way. Irrespective of who you're getting, our means and ends have to justify. You don't say the means don't justify the ends, or the means will justify the ends. Everything has to be justified along the way. So you have to be careful, so don't hold your neck. So insurance companies going through the roof, why? Costing us billions of dollars. They're also crooked, we are also crooked. So we should be very careful. Stealing, they go into stores, employees, they steal. They catch them now in hidden cameras and expose them. Stealing, costing millions and billions of dollars. Greed, billions of people are suffering. This one lady, Linda McQuaig, she said in her book, All You Can Eat, she said, thus not only has greed become the central organizing principle of society, but it has also come to be regarded as a moral triumph linked to human liberation. Meaning it's good to have, she's saying that people are saying it's good to have greed. It's good to have greed. She said 1.2 billion people living on less than $1 US a day. 2.8 billion people living on less than $2 a US a day. You tell them what greed has given them, what the capitalist economy has given them for the last 55 years. What has it given them? Ask half the population of the world what benefits you have received. What benefits you have received. And the third basic vice, inshallah, and I would end with this, is the love of self, pride and arrogance. Ana khayrun minhu. Meaning, the shaitan, Iblis, he said, I am better than he. Why? Because of arrogance. Of arrogance. So this is another sickness that we need to actually deal with. It's a basic vice that we, that's why it's not impacting on ourselves. And it's not actually giving us the fruition so we can go ahead. I had a very nice poem by Imam al-Shafi'i, but inshallah I will not go through that. It needs some explanation. Is very beautiful. You know, Imam al-Shafi'i, huwa man huwa. He's known. So, inshallah, I will end with this and we can have a question and answer, inshallah.